Randy's scripture this morning comes from John 15. John 15, verses 1 to 11. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete.
I want to thank Jeff for sharing. I want to thank him for his encouragement and hopefully tie into the sense of the expanding nature of faith and the opportunity that we are given. Some of us may or may not remember our dreams, but some of us perhaps have dreams that we remember that we had a long time ago and somehow they stick with us. One such dream I had, I believe, when I was about 6 or 7 years old. So for those of you who want to do the math, that was about 20 or 26 years ago. I had this dream that I was walking with my grandfather up his, and this was at a literal house that he lived in, and we were walking up his backyard getting ready to go into his back porch when he fell, and when he fell, he broke his leg and it opened up. But the problem was, inside his leg was straw. Now, I don't know why, but that dream terrified me. I still remember waking up from that dream, running over out of my bed into my parents' room and to look for some type of calm and to find something. Now, naturally, it was a weird dream. Perhaps we could credit it to the Wizard of Oz and the Scarecrow. I don't know. As a kid, I thought that was probably the scariest movie and most terrible thing to show a small kid. I don't know. That's just how I felt. I was probably the only one. But I begin with that because we understand, and I realize today we're blessed with some doctors in the house, when they cut a leg open, I don't think they've ever seen straw. Never happens. It's just so like in many things we anticipate, like as part of the garden this year, I know one of the things that they do is they look forward to cutting that first watermelon together. They have very successful watermelons. And when they cut that watermelon, even though many of us who maybe enjoy watermelon may also enjoy a chocolate cake, but we don't cut the watermelon and anticipate we're going to find the chocolate cake. No, we're going to find that which a watermelon vine produces, and that is watermelon. And that's in many ways what Jesus is trying to instill in the disciples and instilling to us. And I want to say to us, and I want to invite us to understand, we live in what I would say is a very tense and difficult times with the pandemic, with the election, with social unrest, many things. But also, I want to say that I think we live at a time of tremendous opportunity. tremendous opportunity for those who know Jesus and those who follow Jesus to be engaged in the world in a meaningful way. And I would say in an exciting way. And an exciting way, as Jeff shared, to let our, don't be limited by our fences, but an exciting way to say, as we share Jesus, we can expect and anticipate God will do tremendous work. Now, we need to be patient. We need to understand it's not going to happen instantaneously. We need to understand we may not see it. We need to understand we need to be faithful to it. But I want us to think about that as we think of this challenge that we've been in this series of the I Am sayings in the Gospel of John. Today, as we look at this passage, I am the true vine. You see, I want us to think about, and it's simple in many ways, and all of you know that I am probably the last person to be teaching lesson on agriculture. But I do understand enough to understand that there's a relationship between the vine and the fruit. And that relationship is pretty simple. Whatever the vine is, it produces that fruit. I think you're with me so far. None goes the other direction. We do not plant a tomato plant and harvest a cucumber. They don't happen. Now, sometimes these viney plants may get intertwined with one another, and we may not see which is really producing it. But the bottom line is, whatever the vine is what produces the fruit. And Jesus invites us in this passage. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. And what he says is, abide in me, and you will produce fruit. And I think we can understand that Jesus was saying fruit that is related to and related to who I am as the vine. And so that's what I want us to think about, to understand the relationship between their fruit, and that which is representative of the vine. That Jesus promises throughout this passage in so many different ways. He says in verse 5, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. And we often think about that. We know he's the vine. It's to keep us understood. It's to keep our mind frame to understand. And we don't get confused that we're the vine. We're not the main source. We understand he is the vine. And he says this promise, those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. It's a promise. You will bear fruit. And he goes on to say just the opposite, where it tells us what happens. Those, because he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. In other words, if we cut off from the vine, when we cut off from the vine, and we all do it from time to time, when we sort of forget or we neglect or we fail to pay attention, when that happens, we cannot produce anything. Now, I want to be clear. We can still be good people. We can be good people apart from the vine. However, we cannot produce the fruit that Jesus calls us to be about. I want us to think more on this, and I would suggest that particularly under stress, particularly under persecution, particularly under trials, particularly under difficult times, is when it is all the more important that the fruit that is produced be honoring to the vine. And in fact, I would suggest it does honor the vine. However, it may suggest that we're connected to a different vine than Jesus. You see, when Jesus was under stress, and I think hanging on a cross would probably go pretty high up there, just from what I've experienced in life, pretty high. What were his words over the crowd? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. It could have been, I can't wait to come back to crush them. That's probably what most of us would say. Jesus did not. You see, he was connected. He is the vine. In other times, when he was before Pilate, when he was being persecuted, they said all kinds of lies about them. How many of us like to keep quiet when other people are speaking lies about us? How many of us want to defend ourselves, speak up, let people know, face justice, do all of that? What did Jesus say? Not a word did he say? He kept quiet. You see, that is the fruit that is to be produced in us. That is what is said. It says, as we abide in Jesus, these fruits will happen. Now also understand, I want us to understand, the life of discipleship, this says to us, is never static. So if some of us are here and saying, oh my gosh, I'm so far away from that, I want you to hang on to hope, because this is not something we have to say, oh, I need to try harder. That's not going to work. We can try harder all we want. That is typically our approach, and I can tell you it doesn't work. When I was a child, I played football. You know, back then we played football without helmets and just played with our friends. And I had a cousin who was very big. He was 4 years older than me and very big. And he would often run back to kickoffs. And as this small, scrawny kid that I was, I can remember this one time I was so tired of him having a successful run back. I said, I don't care what happens. I'm going full force into Tim, and I'm going to tackle him. All I remember is getting up off the ground. I tried harder. I was determined. It didn't work. Now I know, being a little smarter, there's something called physics. And they were not the right way. They were not in my favor. In the same way, we are reminded and we are invited to understand Jesus said, I am the vine. And he goes on and he talks quite important of the need to bear fruit. And I want to invite us to think about, when we understand that between the vine and the fruit production, it's very important. And I want us to understand that Jesus even identifies in other places in Scripture, we're told what the fruit is. Jesus said this in verse 6. He said, no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. We understand this. We know that Nancy, our garden at home sometimes, I'm not picking on your garden at home, but it doesn't do very well. We have too many shade trees, too many things, and she's tried. It's not from her effort. Let me be clear. She works hard. She does this, she does that, and occasionally her lazy husband helps out a little bit begrudgingly. Is that accurate? Okay, I'm honest. I'm not lazy, but I just don't like garden work. I'll correct that. In all of this, and still, she gets two or three tomatoes off her plants, and they don't produce. And it's because the vines do not grow well, because our soil and whatever the other problems are, some of you can maybe help her out. But it just doesn't work. And he goes on to say in this, in Luke chapter 6, he says, for each tree is known by its fruit. Figs are not gathered from thorns, nor grapes are picked from a bramble bush. He's saying that same thing. The good person out of a good treasure of their heart produces good, and the evil person out of evil treasure produces evil. For it is out of the abundance of the heart that the mouth speaks. This is saying, it's that same type of thing. Jesus is suggesting, if we're connected to the vine, if we're rooted in the vine, and as we are rooted, we will produce fruit that goes along with that. As I thought of this, I couldn't help but think of what we often call the fruits of the Spirit. Now, this is the Apostle Paul teaching, but I think it's the same idea when he says, abide from me, and apart from me, you can do nothing. Paul says this about the fruits of the Spirit. He says the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Are they not the things that our world needs today? Is that not what they need to see emanating from the church beyond our fences? These very things? And what does he go on to say? He says, there is no law against such things. Notice what Paul does not say is the fruit of the Spirit. Hard work. We like that one. There's nothing wrong with it, but it's not a fruit of the Spirit. Intelligence. There again, that's good, but it's not part of the fruit of the Spirit. success. There are many good things not listed that are not fruits of the Spirit. But notice also what he says before we get to those fruits of the Spirit that are so good and powerful and wonderful. He says the works of the flesh are obvious. Idolatry, sorcery, and some of these are words that we say, well, they won't really know. But strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissension, factions, envy. Isn't that what we read about and see on our social media constantly? I would suggest that we need to check our own hearts and think about what fruit are we producing? Because it comes from the vine that we're drinking from. It comes from the vine. A few weeks ago, Chris Ann spoke about I am the bread of life, and she talked about what we're feeding on, and I am convinced all the more that we need to understand this relationship between what we feed on, what is the vine that we're connected to, what is that, because it is going to go through us. I like this imagery up here of these waters. You know, it's the typical thing. You probably learned this pretty early on in school. You put blue and yellow and you have green. You can't help but the infiltration into that middle glass. You can't stop it. It's going to happen. It's the same way with that which we are connected to as our vine is going to flow into us. Now, please understand, I'm not suggesting we're capable of becoming perfect and always doing that. What I am saying is, as discipleship, Jesus said, our purpose is to become more and more filled by him and connected to that vine. Jesus talks in this passage about pruning. Now, what is the purpose of pruning? And I think it's pretty clear. For those of us who know gardening and everything, we know that, like with apple orchards and other things, they prune them. For what purpose? To produce more fruit. They prune them not to kill the tree. They prune them, and you have to know when to prune them, how to prune them, and that's why it's God's choice, and God is the vine grower. God is the one who prunes, not us. And I would suggest any of us who want to do pruning on other people, we're clearly not connected to the vine. You see, because that's God's, not us. That's when we get confused. The other thing that I would say is when we look at our own church history, and when I say our own church history, I'm talking about Christian history from the last 2,000 years. There have been many things that are produced by the church that don't seem to be overly connected to the vine, such things as the Crusades. I don't think that's really coming out of the vine. That doesn't sort of fall. And we can find others, you know, divisions and splits and all kinds of, not just conflict, but I would say conflict filled with hatred. Somehow, that does not come from the vine of Jesus. But the idea is, he says he prunes those he loves, and he prunes those in order to produce fruit. He prunes not to damage, not to embarrass, not to shame. In fact, I think it's interesting. Jesus says this in this passage. After he's telling them about pruning, and some of us can, you know, automatically, I think one of the challenges that we have is automatically we get guilty when we hear such messages, oh, my fruit maybe not be what it should. And yet Jesus says in the midst of this, as the Father has loved me, so I loved you, abide in me. He reminds us, I love you. Abide in me. So we don't need to respond out of that. We need to understand the invitation for God to prune us is an invitation for our own benefit. It's not to harm us. Also in verse 3, after he tells them about every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. In verse 3, he says, you have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. He says so in the context so they understand. As he's going to prune you, as he's going to identify some areas that probably need to be adjusted, he's letting us know that we've already been cleansed, that we can rest assured. We don't have to get fearful. I wonder, what would it be like? And that's why I read the opening call to worship that I read this morning. What would it be like for us to even invite God to prune in us? What would it be for us to invite, say, God, are there areas of my life that you want me to take a new direction? Are there attitudes in my heart? Are there things that I'm about that you want to change in me? And just pray that. I am convinced that in my own life I have experienced that. When I pray that, God always directs and answers. And God always wants to do that type of work. And that's why I think Jesus, if you read this passage, as you hear this passage read, I also wanted to realize to what we're called to do is not only realize and receive God's pruning, but the other thing is, Jesus says in this passage over and over and over again, abide in me. He says over and over again that the call for us as Christians is to abide in him, abide in his words, abide in his teaching, abide in his lifestyle, abide, let ourselves, like this picture, let us be soaked in it, not just dipped in it, but soaked in it so that it comes all the way through and infiltrates all that we are. Abide is probably not a word that we say much today. I'm going to say, hey, I'm going to abide with Cesar later today. We don't say that. We might say, hey, I'm going to hang out. I'm going to visit. You know, in the church, we'd say we're going to fellowship together. We use all kinds of words. But to abide, it means to dwell. It means to remain. It means to stay in a close proximity of something so that it influences, overtakes us. And that's what Jesus invites us to do. And as we do this, what he says is he will work in us in ways that we couldn't even imagine. He will work, and I'm so thrilled to be part of this congregation because I have seen that happen in individuals and see it continue to happen no matter how old people are as they continue to be faithful in God and God continues to work in their lives. And I see it and I hear it. What a blessing. So it's not this big labor thing that we have to figure out and do right, but just the invitation to abide and to stay in him. And notice what he promises. He says, I have said these things so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. I so often think we miss that in the Christian church. I have said these things. I want to shape you. I want you to be grounded. I want you to be connected to the vine. I say these things. I can almost hear Jesus pouring over this. And he says, I say it so that you can have joy to the fullest. Not so that you can lead a miserable life and say, woe is me, and I'm just a good Christian, and boy, I really work hard at it, and I have all the right positions. That's not what he calls us to be about. He says, I want you to have joy and joy complete. I had to think about this, and I've shared it, I think, before. When I was a kid, and my dad would sort of hum to a special music and sort of embarrass the heck out of me as a child, I'd think, oh my gosh, what's dad doing? I'm pretty sure I've done that to my kids. Why? Because the more I've connected to the vine, the more I've connected, I understand that this love, this joy, this peace, all these things that it says, this kindness, generosity, we can't contain it. It will come out. And I don't care about stopping it as much anymore. It's what happens when you get a little older, when those of you who figured it up, I'm above 30. It's what happens. And I want to encourage us to hear, particularly in the context of where we're at today. Because I think at times one of our biggest challenges is to abide in the vine. Because we get so many things, we may voluntarily just sort of say disconnect. We can do that for periods of our lives. But we can also get distracted that it's hard for us to see the vine. It can confuse with many things, and there's so many other voices speaking to us. And there's times that I know I have to say for myself, there's something that comes out of me, and I think, oh, that's not coming from Jesus. And when that's the case, I don't need to look at the fruit. I need to look at the source and say, what does God want of me? What is Jesus wanting to say? I don't need to put myself down or belittle myself, but say, how does God want to change my heart? That's why I like this passage that I read earlier from David. He says, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. What an opportunity for us to live connected to the vine and to be in our world beyond fences, to be in our world to produce the fruit. We can guarantee it will happen as we're connected to the vine. So this morning, I invite each and every one of us to enjoy that relationship, to abide, dwell in it in whatever way works best for you, in following Jesus, whether it be in practice and service, in listening to music, whether it be in taking a silent walk or encouraging with other people, however God speaks to you, but abide in that vine. And also be aware of God's loving desire to prune. To prune, not to embarrass it or put you down, but to prune, to produce more fruit so that you can live that life of the kingdom. And most of all, know that God does it so that your joy may be complete. What a witness to have in the midst of our struggles to live with a joy that people just say, I don't understand where that comes from. Let's pray.